Adidas Cabinets. The
local pro. Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets. The local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets. The local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, this is Carrie Grell. From the heart behind Organic Pilates, I want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created for intentional living. We offer apparel, wellness, and everyday pieces designed to support how you move and how you live. Harmony, where movement meets intention. We're located at 1264 California Street. We're in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to welcome you in.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Stay informed with our county's most reliable news. Tune to KCNR every Monday at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief provides precise, local-only updates and compelling discussions critical to our community. Have a lead? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or reach out via socials at townhallbrief on linktree.com to send a DM. The Town Hall Brief, the authoritative source for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35. On KCNO.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, my name is Lori from Backrubs. We've been working with the Rancheria since 2008. It's an honor to be partnering with Rancheria. They are one of our favorite groups to work with.
I'm Yasmin Pena with Shasta Heat and Air Conditioning. We've been working with the Redding Rancheria since 2022, and we are proud to be their go-to whenever they need work done.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Horribly wrong. Or they could go horribly right. But considering all of that, there's no other place I'd rather be than in this country. And that's because, and I know that I am a product of both my environment, how I was raised by my parents, the education that I got, both, you know, secondary and higher education. I'm an influence of the genes, the DNA that I got from my grandparents and great-grandparents. They're all my forebears. I get all of that. And so I consider myself to be a very lucky individual in that regard. And I find myself at, you know, as a okay boomer, I find myself as a boomer doing something that I absolutely love doing and cannot believe that everything, both good and bad in my lifetime, I mean, I've had some incredibly wonderful experiences, and I've had some very horrible experiences. That I'm now doing this, and when I look over my shoulder at everything that I've experienced, all the way, I mean, even going back into grade school, junior high school, college, being on the debate team in high school and in college, my political science professors that I had, some of whom were incredibly liberal. I did an awful lot of arguing in political science classes. And some of them were really good. So one of them in particular became a mentor to me. He's now deceased, but Professor Rahrman was amazing. And he was a pretty hardcore Democrat. But he and I really got along great, and we really learned a lot from each other. And when I became the undersecretary, I remember him coming to D.C. to visit because he was so proud of the fact that I had risen to that level of authority or whatever in government. And my spending almost 6 years with President Bush. And, of course, those were good times and bad times. But that all of that, practicing law, doing criminal law, everything, led me to where I am today. And I think, as one of my best friends, Andy, says, I'm exactly where I need to be. And I thank this country for that. But there are a lot of people that don't believe in the good of America. And they're making a case against America. And you see it at every level. I mean, there are members of the United States Congress that I question, who do you owe your loyalty to? There are people who are naturalized citizens and they have a constitutional right to run for Congress, but I really do question their loyalty sometimes. I hear what they say about this country, and I'm thinking, are you representing your home country? Because you're certainly not representing your constituents. And you're certainly not upholding your oath to the Constitution that you swore to uphold. Or which Constitution did you swear to uphold? I thought when you took that oath, you were swearing your allegiance to the U.S. Constitution. And it's of all ages, too. And it really bothers me when I see young people who really want to say that this country is not the good force that it is. They think it's an evil force. Before the Soviet Union fell, the primary argument against this country, because I'm going to tell you what their argument is against this country, it was truly based on Marxist materialism. Capitalist economies like ours were failing to make optimal use of resources to serve what they believed was the common good. That too much went to the owners of capital, too little went to labor. Now, Marx predicted that disaffected masses would eventually force the adoption of increasingly socialist systems in order to increase the share of income going to labor. Now, that ultimately, you and I know, culminates in communism. What proponents of this country have failed to recognize is that our detractors have abandoned that argument. Now, why would they abandon the argument? Because there's improving conditions. Even among the poorest people in formerly communist nations led to that argument falling on deaf ears. And I don't want poor people to remain poor, but relatively speaking, when you look at the poor in this country, they're so much better off than the poor in any other country. I don't care how socialist, how Marxist, how democratic, how Republican the government is, I mean small or Republican, the poor in this country are still better off than anybody else in the world. Now, I know that there are truly indigent people, but usually when you find the truly indigent, incapable of doing anything for themselves, you'll usually find some other, you know, comorbidity, if you will, a mental illness or a drug addiction or something. But Pew did a study back in 2019. And that survey showed widespread belief among those living in formerly communist countries that their life satisfaction had improved dramatically over the last 30 years. In short, the detractors were switching gears. They began making a direct moral case against this country And it was a case that did not depend on Marxist materialism and did not depend on class warfare. Now, don't get me wrong. That still exists as an argument. They still think and they still want class warfare because they think that will bring about their socialist utopia. AOC in the squad, Bernie Sanders, Mom Donnie, I'm looking at you. But it becomes much more nuanced now. And they have another argument. And I'll explain that argument, their case against America, coming up next. Don't go away.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Welcome back to Beacon with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Appreciate you tuning in. I was just looking at text messages. Text line, of course, is always open. 33103, 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. Great text. But I want to finish this topic. I don't know how long it'll take me to do it. We're talking about this undertow of these, and again, it's the squad. It's truthfully, I'm not going to lie. I think it's the Democrat Party in general. They've swung so far to the left that it's pretty easy to just lump them all together now. I know there's still a few moderates, but they remain quiet. They don't say anything. And this group, all of these Marxist, socialist, communists, I mean, for example, our stupid governor says it's last year in office and he's term limited. He gave a State of the State speech yesterday or day before, I forget, because I didn't really pay much attention to it. But one line did catch my attention. Here's a guy, a Democrat, comes from a billionaire family. I mean, he didn't really build the business. His family did. But he's made his way up through being on the State Board of Education to being a U.S. congressman and now governor. And I'm sure he wants to go on and be, you know, president or senator or something. But he called the Republicans the socialists. When the Democrats, following his lead, have turned this into a socialist hellhole. We're broke. We have horrible infrastructure. The economy is not that great. The net immigration and in-migration and out-migration is pretty close to even. It bounces back and forth a little bit. It's just we're not the great state that we once were. They continue to push this agenda of doing everything possible for everybody. Government is the answer to everything. And part of that stems from, and I mean this sincerely, government is their God. And they think that government can solve all solutions and the private sector is the problem. Well, when the detractors of this country switched gears and started making a direct moral case against this country, they did so that didn't necessarily depend on Marxism or class warfare, because they now argue that even if this country provides ample material resources for everybody, we're still immoral. And this is because it was built on their belief that this country was built on an immoral foundation, slavery, which is, of course, the epitome of oppression. And that it still operates in an immoral way, because they argue that there's ongoing oppression through systemic racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, every kind of horrible thing you can think of. They still believe that that is the basic tenet of this country. Now, when you think about it, oppression was a central component of traditional Marxism, that as an explanation of the drivers of growing class division. But the detractors of this country today focus on the immorality of oppression per se. It's the very essence of oppression. It is oppression in and of itself. Now, that approach, you need to understand that that approach has an advantage of not requiring the endorsement of any particular conception of utopia or a view of how history might unfold if we continue down their Marxist path. It only requires the belief that just rectifying past sins and combating present oppression is morally necessary, and we've got to do that, and there's the sole focus. Boy, I'm against oppression wherever it exists. But do you get what they're really doing? They're really trying to make an argument that you can't disagree with. They get you to focus on the wrong thing. Slavery? Racism? Sexism? Homophobia? Islamophobia? All of those things? Wait a minute. That necessarily means that they look upon you and me as being racist, sexist. that were anti-gay, were anti-Islamist, were anti-Semites, were anti-everything. They put their beliefs onto me, and I refuse to accept that. Now, the switch in that strategy, it's all rhetorical, but the switch in the strategy, unfortunately, has been working, I think. But that should not be surprising, because morality usually trumps everything, right? No pun intended. Can't even use the word Trump anymore. Trump something. The crux of that moral case against this country is derived from what some authors have called the oppression thesis. And it contends that the rise of the West, Western civilization, and in particular the rise of the United States, is largely the story of the strong getting even better at oppressing the weak. So this country is immoral because oppressing people is immoral. So virtually all anti-Americanism today comports with the oppression thesis. It is simply, yet it's very capricious, harmonious at the same time. Because of this, that poses a rhetorical elegance that is really appealing to young minds that don't know any better. And certainly, if they're in government schools, are not being taught to critically think. Because the division between the oppressed and the oppressors aligns with the us versus them mentality of just absolute tribalism. It's just tribalism. Now, since our genes predispose us to think in tribal terms, the oppression thesis seems plausible just at face value. But here's the good news. The good news is that oppressors and the innocents who benefit from past oppression can atone and virtue signal simultaneously by simply proclaiming that their support for redistribution of justice. So those many that really should know better can't resist the temptation to obtain social approval by, I'm going to join that. And then as more start to join in, those left on the sideline start to look even more callous to those who are marching down the street of the whole thing about oppression. And that induces even more people to jump in. And that makes the oppression thesis start to make common sense to those who don't understand our history or who are susceptible to, I don't want to be called racist. Well, nobody wants to be called racist. Nobody wants to be an oppressor unless you are an oppressor. But I don't want to be considered to be an oppressor. Why? Because I'm successful? Why? Because I'm articulate? Why? Because I've got an IQ above room temperature? Why? These detractors of this country are right, of course, to call attention to oppression. And oppression is part of our history. But it's not possible to use oppression to explain the rise of this country. That's just not possible. The poor live better today than ever before in almost every corner of the world. So what's the moral case for this country then, if oppression is the case against it? That's next. Don't go away.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown. Everybody loves the season of giving, but now the season of paying for it is upon us. That not-so-wonderful time of the year when millions of Americans open their credit card statements, stare in horror at the balance, and resolve then and there to find new ways to save money. If you're among those Americans, why not start by cutting your wireless bill in half right now with Pure Talk's Saver Plan? It's easy. You'll get unlimited talk, text, and 3 gigs of high-speed data on a super-fast, nationwide 5G network for just $20 a month. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Ho, ho, ho! And if you're active or former military or a first responder, you'll save an additional 20% every single month. That's #250, say Mike Rowe, for the gift that keeps on saving from America's wireless company. Pure Talk.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
At your conference table or your tailgate spot, we bring the know-how, we got a lot. Local experts with a digital plan. Woo! We'll boost your biz with a helping hand. Ready? Top tier. Reading Online Marketing, we're right here.
Okay. Kick off your week with straight up facts. Tune in to KCNR every Monday at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for unbiased reporting, we deliver the real deal on what's happening in our county. Crisp updates and honest discussions that matter. Got a tip? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or DM them at townhallbrief on linktree.com. The Town Hall Brief, your trusted source for local news, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Ready to boost your learning and earning potential? Shasta College can help. Full-time students may qualify for 2 years of free tuition to jumpstart a high-demand career. Pressed for time? We get it. That's why we offer 8-week compressed, cohort-based, and online or hybrid classes designed for busy adults. Spring classes start January 21st, so now's the perfect time to plan your next step. For more information, contact ShastaCollege.edu.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
Talking about down here at the nitty-gritty level, I'm talking about as a nation, as Western civilization. I think that Western civilization is very moral. And the reason for that is, and I think I can't take credit for this, this is something called the cooperation force, the cooperation thesis. It comes from a book written back in 2012 called The Righteous Mind. The author says this: the most powerful force ever known on this planet is human cooperation, a force for construction and destruction. And I think that's the moral case for this country. We cooperate with each other by working with each other. Because doing so, when we cooperate and work with each other in a free market capitalist society, we produce value that is greater than the sum of us each individually. I always talk about widgets. If I work alone, maybe I can make 10 widgets. So I make 10. But if you and I work together, maybe we can make 26 widgets. We make 13 each. That's, you know, instead of 10 by myself, 10 by yourself. But when we work together, we can make 26. Those six additional widgets are a surplus, a cooperative surplus. And that's what induces us to freely choose to cooperate, because it makes it possible for both of us to end up with more at the same time. Cooperation is the first step to increasing output per capita, and therefore achieving mass flourishing, because as we all cooperate, as we all pursue our own self-interest, you know, for example, in this building, we cooperate at its most naked level. What I do is I, in fact, I was talking to my program director about this yesterday. I perform by coming in here and talking about things that interest me in a way that I hope people find informative, sometimes funny, sometimes serious, different ways. But I do this program, this show, whatever you want to call it, because what am I really doing? Well, I'm attracting, Rush Limbaugh used to describe it this way. His job was to attract as large of an audience as possible so that he could charge confiscatory rates for advertising, so that then those advertisers could sell their products to his audience. All wrapped in what we enjoy doing, talking about things that interest us. And then we come together cooperatively in this building because I don't have the time, or for that matter, I don't have the skills, the knowledge, the skills, and the ability to go sell this time. Somebody else does that because they've got the time and the energy, and that's their job. But we cooperate because when they find a lead, then I go meet those people or that company or the individual, whatever it might be. And I talk about what I do, how I do it. And I tell them stories about what I do. And they like or don't like it. And they decide to advertise or not advertise. And then we all benefit from it. They sell more widgets, I have more income. So does the salesperson. And then the company does. And then the shareholders make more money. And the shareholders take that money and they use that money to invest or do other things. And everything grows. And then everybody benefits. It's all a cooperation. All enveloped in capitalism, in a free market. That's that cooperation thesis. So the crux of making a moral case for this country is derived from that cooperation thesis. And that contends that the rise of the West, Western civilization, and the United States is really a story of people just getting even better at cooperating in a larger and larger context. Our free market economy, and combined with a constitutional republic, has turned out to be the most effective system of cooperation ever to exist in the history of mankind. So we are an exceptionally moral country because cooperation between ethical guardrails is a moral activity. So why are we so good at cooperation? I think most humans are pretty good at cooperating in a very small group. I'm really good at a small group. Maybe it's because I just have those kinds of instincts, but in a small group. But then we evolve, and we start cooperating in larger and larger groups. Pretty soon, this entire country, operating within the guardrails of the Constitution and the laws and the rules and the regulations and the policies that we make, we all cooperate and we pull off a very large group cooperation. This shows Adam Smith was right. Cooperating by dividing tasks to unleash the power of specialization, that's the key to producing more per person. If you've read Adam Smith, you know his famous pen factory example. Based on actual data, revealed a 23,900% increase in productivity achieved by producing pens through cooperation, specifically through an organized division of labor. Now, some people say he overstated the effect. Okay, well, that's fine, because even if Adam Smith was off by an order of magnitude, instead of 23,900% increase in productivity, that would still be a 2,390% increase in productivity. Put that in context. If you are of roughly normal height, but it went up by 100%, you'd be the tallest human being to ever live. Adam Smith then explained why this effect increases dramatically as the number of people over whom to divide tasks is increased. So as the number of people that you can assign to tasks increases, in order to get the most out of cooperation, we need to be able to cooperate in large groups. This benefit of scale is the crux of his argument for free trade. And our capacity to cooperate effectively in a large group depends on our trust in strangers and in the system. I don't know anything about the people that make the Diet Coke that I'm drinking. Or for that matter, even the company that sells me the Diet Coke that I'm drinking right now. But I've got trust in them. And I have trust in them for a whole host of reasons. One, they're part of the free market. And if they sell a lousy product, a contaminated product, that trust will erode, and pretty soon they'll go out of business. Our genes have no reason to equip us for this. Because we've always, up until modern times, we lived in really small groups. But then our extraordinary capacity for language to communicate allowed some groups to develop cultural and institutional work around that increased the size of the groups within which we could cooperate. And the societies that did this best became more productive, and they pulled ahead farther and farther than any other country. And that's us, because we learned to cooperate. Interestingly, those who keep telling us how bad this country is because of racism, sexism, and all the phobias, what are they actually trying to do? They're trying to destroy the cooperative basis upon which we all operate. They tell me that I'm bad, that I'm wrong. I get a couple of nasty emails about, they're not going to cooperate with me because I refuse to see their side. No, I see their side. In fact, I take great pride in seeing their side of the argument, because that gives me the opportunity to tear down that argument, to tell you why I think it's wrong. In our colonial period, our culture and institutions co-evolved to produce two things that turned out to be the catalyst for this gigantic cooperative effort that we're now engaged in. Two very simple things. It goes back to that Diet Coke. My freedom of choice, freedom in general, and trust. Without either one of those, they can't sell the Diet Coke, and I won't buy the Diet Coke. Freedom and trust is the moral case for this country. I'll be right back.
Hey. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-292-7788. That's 800-292-7788. 800-292-7788.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Welcome back to the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. As always, I want to make sure I thank the audience for tuning in on the weekend, or whether you listen live, delayed, podcast, however you listen. I really do appreciate this audience. You have other things to do, and you're doing this, and I think it's great. The cooperation thesis. Free people. You know, our forefathers, the founding fathers and the colonists, were under the thumb of King George. But being distant, and then having those oppressive laws imposed upon the colonists, they learned to cooperate among themselves in a small group, and they learned to govern themselves in a small group. And they learned that by cooperating among themselves, that they could actually produce more. And that governing themselves, they could be much more prosperous. So free people started searching for potential cooperative partners for the best terms. Under freedom, if there is a social convention of splitting the surplus equally, then maximizing the size of the surplus becomes the only way to increase one's payoff. And that's what we do. We try to maximize what we produce. And we do that through cooperation. Over time, competition among potential cooperative partners drives everybody to choose partners who will not demand more than an equal split of the surplus. And then the fear of being excluded induces others to propose an equal split from the outset. Now, there's always differences in bargaining power. My company cooperates with me, and I cooperate with my company to produce a product, and they pay me for that product, and there is an unequal bargaining power. But I get certain trade-offs that I'm willing to accept. Maybe I don't get paid as much as I want, but I get to do what I want. And that's a pretty important trade-off for me. But contrast that with coerced cooperation. Somebody said on the text line, it's actually voluntary cooperation. Well, I think that's plain semantics. And the reason I think it's semantics is because involuntary cooperation is not really cooperation at all. That's tyrannical. That's dictatorship. And we see how that works out. You don't get to share in the fruits of your labor. So, you know, they pretend to pay you and you pretend to work. And the output is pretty much zilch. So that's coerced cooperation. And in those cases, cooperation is going to be directed toward maximizing the payoff of the coercer, even if that makes everybody else worse off. Because now there's no need for the coercer to share the cooperative surplus or to even cover the opportunity cost of the coerced, since the coerced aren't free to opt out. Cooperation in this country did not require anyone to be in charge of society to direct what would be produced through cooperation or who would cooperate with whom or what the terms would be. So what happens? A general prosperity that did not depend on the wisdom of some sort of central planning committee or some dictator, smart or not smart, but just a dictator. This generated skepticism about promises to improve society by trading a small degree of liberty for greater security. We don't believe that, although too many people today would trade a lot of security or trade a lot of liberty for more security. But don't forget the other element of trust. A culture of freedom helps cultivate a high-trust society. In Europe, peasants had to cooperate with others on the same estate, whether they wanted to cooperate with them or not, in a feudal society. But American parents knew that their children's contemporaries would be free to avoid cooperating with them if they couldn't trust them, thereby cutting them off from the benefits of cooperation. Parents, therefore, worried about as much about making their children trustworthy as they did teaching them practical skills. This fostered a norm of trustworthiness, making it rational for citizens to trust one another. And since those in early American government were drawn from a sample of highly trustworthy people, there was a good deal of trust in the system. With a rare exception, citizens could trust those in power to fairly enforce contracts, to guarantee property rights, to abide by the rule of law. And we in other political scientists, like me, put that, the word we attach to that is legitimacy. And that legitimacy increased the expected returns to cooperation by ensuring that all citizens could keep what they had earned. Now, I know government is breaking down that trust. They take too much of what I earn, and they waste it. And they certainly spend it on things that I don't want them to spend it on, things that I think are actually counterproductive. So it follows that societies that raise their children to be honest will be wealthier than those that do not, because greater cooperative surpluses can then accumulate to those individuals. And because Adam Smith was right about the power of large-scale cooperation, then societies like ours that raise their children to be honest even with strangers, they'll be the best of all. That's the morality of cooperation. It involves behavior that is consistent with everybody respecting everybody else's freedom. When we fail to respect others' freedom, their dignity, and trust, risks their choosing to avoid you in the future. And if you can't, if you're avoiding everybody, there's no cooperation. We cooperate honestly. We create more output per capita and at the same time respect the rights of others. Otherwise, they will choose not to cooperate with us in the future. Americans are the most generous people in the world. And while this is no doubt influenced by our generosity of spirit, that kind of generosity would be moot in the absence of sufficient resources. Cooperation is how societies become truly richer. And the richer a society is, the more resources citizens have to pay for both public goods, roads, bridges, and highways, firehouses, but also private charity. Which leads me to what I've always said. Those who deride America and think that we're awful, they see their government as the God. They see their government as their religion. And so they obliterate private charity in favor of public charity, or really government charity. And that's the worst charity of all, because it's not compassionate, it's not caring, and it's really ineffective. The war on poverty has been going on for almost my entire lifetime. Yet poverty still exists, and we have actually enslaved people into poverty. By what? A failure of cooperation and trust. America is good because we cooperate and we trust, and that produces a society that is full of free will and trust and makes us much more prosperous. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you have a history of those dreadful calcium oxalate stones? Well, KidneyCop is here to help. Shown in laboratory testing to reduce the rate of calcium oxalate crystal growth by 99%. Yes, 99%. Don't wait. Start taking KidneyCop Calcium Oxalate Protector today. That's KidneyCop, C-O-P, KidneyCop. Order today at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com. That's Amazon, Walmart, or KidneyCop.com.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.